T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Steve Roberts, political analyst, joining us live now. Steve, thanks for being with us. I guess, why don't we start with the relief bill that appears to be maybe going a little bit closer or aiming closer to passage, but there are still some obstacles that stand in the way, aren't there?
Yeah, there are, because the Democrats have such a narrow margin in the Senate. There's only 50 Democrats, with Kamala Harris poised as vice president to break ties. That means if they lose one or two Democrats, more moderate Democrats, they're in trouble. And there are, look, the bill is going to pass. There will be a major relief bill through the Senate within the next couple of weeks. The question is what's going to be in it. I think that the most obvious piece that they're going to take out of it is this liberal wish list to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. It's got a lot of opponents. Biden himself has said it's unlikely to survive in the final bill. But the other casualty here is bipartisanship. You know, Democrats talked a lot about this. Biden had a delegation of Republican senators to the White House a couple of weeks ago, and there was talk of significant bipartisan negotiations. But that seems to have all fallen by the wayside. The Democrats are absolutely determined to push this bill through, push it through as quickly as possible at its current size. And in the end, I think it's going to go through with virtually no Republican votes. But this is important to Biden. It's a signature proposal to say to the country, see, you were right to pick me over Trump, with that landmark that you just mentioned, the 500,000 deaths with COVID. It crystallizes the stakes for the country. And Biden's trying to say to the country, see, I'm taking this seriously, in a way that the former president did not.
What is the fallout if there is not bipartisan support?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it sort of dims the whole idea of that Biden has been trying, that he ran on as a candidate, which is that I'm going to be the president of all Americans, and I'm going to try to reach across the aisle, and I believe in national unity. Some of that gets smug when you get your first big bill and you do it just with Democratic votes. I don't think it means there's no possibility of cooperation on any other issues, but I think it's a setback for Biden in a way. I always believed that if he did in fact negotiate with Republicans, that it would set a tone that would establish relationships. There's this huge deficit in Washington today, which is trust. People just don't trust each other. Well, how do you build trust? Well, you build trust by cooperating on small things, getting to know each other, and people keep their word, and you say, okay, we dealt with each other on one thing, we can now deal with it on something else, maybe immigration, maybe infrastructure reform, other issues. But if you don't create those relationships, if you don't start somewhere, it's hard to build on that. And I think Biden was sincere in the campaign and saying, I want to work with Republicans, but he's under enormous pressure from the liberal wing of his party to go very big on this relief package. And I don't think negotiations with Republicans ever got very serious.
I was going to say, you're not really starting small. You're not starting with those areas for maybe a little bit of compromise. No matter what form this relief package took, it was always going to be very big, and it is a very big deal, and it is the starting point.
And, you know, I think that one of the things we've talked about a lot over the last few months, splits in Republican ranks, defections of people like Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney, Republican leaders attacking Donald Trump and his legacy. but there are splits in Democratic ranks, too, as there always are. Look, when you have a two-party system and such an enormous country, any party that competes on a national level has to be a coalition, has to be cover a wide range of geography and ideology, or else you can't compete nationally. And so there are always going to be fissures in a party. But the Democrats papered them over during the campaign because they agreed on one thing very powerfully. They all hated Donald Trump. But now you're starting to see some of these differences. You take the issue of the federal increasing the federal minimum wage. The liberal wing of the party is very much for this, Bernie Sanders and people like that. But then you've got very moderate Democrats like Senator Manchin of West Virginia, Senator Sinema of Arizona saying, wait, I'm not for that. And so you can start to see these splits. You're going to see it also in the issue of canceling student debt. You've already seen that happen where the liberal wing is saying, let's cancel $50,000 in student debt. Biden himself says, no way, you know, maybe 10,000, but I'm not going to go that far. So a part of what you're starting to see is that as the Democrats take control, these fissures between the more moderate and liberal wings of the parties starting to become more important, and particularly given the fact that Democrats have no margin for error in the Senate with only 50 seats, those splits could pose an increasingly significant problem for the Biden White House.
Former President Trump will return to the spotlight next weekend. He's speaking at CPAC. What are you expecting from him?
More of the same. I mean, you know, everybody predicts a new Trump and he's going to be different. I mean, Donald Trump has been the same since the day he rode down that escalator in Trump Tower and announced his candidacy for president. In fact, you go back even earlier than that when he emerged as a public figure by attacking President Obama as, you know, as someone who wasn't really a legitimate American citizen. He's a man who thrives on grievance and on stoking fears and on stoking grievances. And he's going to get up there and say he won the election. He's going to get up there and say that that the Republicans who oppose him are rhinos, Republicans in name only. He's going to get up there and demand purity to Trumpism. But that's the way he's always operated. He's 74 years old. Anybody who thinks somehow there's going to be a new Trump, not paying attention to the old Trump.
What has been the reaction over the last week in Washington to what's going on here in New York State with Governor Cuomo? We heard the press secretary yesterday at the White House on ABC's This Week kind of scale back a little bit that previous praise of Cuomo as the gold standard that Joe Biden had many months before issued. Where does the Biden administration and maybe just other Democrats in Washington, where do they stand right now on their view of the governor?
Well, you know, the thing about crises is and executives is that they can make the reputation of a governor or a mayor, and they can badly damage the reputation because it's high risk, high reward. You're seeing it right now in Texas with the governor being a source of enormous complaints, even from Republicans. And Cuomo had good reviews in the beginning, but I don't think there's any question that the nursing home issue has damaged him. And it's not just because it's how he responded to the crisis. It's how this hint of a cover-up, this hint of deception, this hint that he didn't play straight with people. That is really a reputation. You get a reputation for that kind of game playing, that kind of deception, that sticks. And that is never a good thing for a politician to have. And, you know, it's hard to predict, but has Cuomo been damaged as a potential national figure? I don't think there's any question that that's happened.
Steve, thanks as always for the time. Always great to talk with you. That's Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst, joining us live.